player nickname I'm going to give him at the beginning of the podcast.
Oh, no, I know. When I saw Lairdinho, I'm like, is that a player I've never heard of?
This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your hosts, Andrew Laird and Mike Gottlieb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, not only because it's an international break and there's no games to talk about this weekend, so we make stuff up, but we have a very special guest joining us today from RotoWire.com. If he was a soccer player, his name would be Kevin King Boateng, but it's Kevin King joining us today on the podcast. And yes, I just made that up about 5 minutes ago. I want to jump right into our random questions that we're going to be having today. So it's going to be a lot of future-based questions. And then at the end of the show, we're going to do a where are they going to play next year segment. So a lot of speculation and pronunciation errors coming guaranteed. So to start us off, Kevin, I'll start with you. You are a suffering Spurs fan, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Unfortunately, yes. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it happened. It's Robbie Keane's fault. I was a huge Irish soccer fan growing up. And then, you know, I found out what team he played for and I've been miserable ever since.
So there are a lot of Irish soccer fans in Buffalo, New York, which is where
there's me and one other person that I know of. And it used to be so tough. We used to have to get like Satanta Sports and pay that extra like $20 a month on DirecTV. But yeah, no, it's just me and one other person who even knows who Shea Given is, probably in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you still have Seamus Coleman.
Yes. Seamus and Robbie, that's all we need.
That's all you need.
Before we go any further, since he's a Boateng, I'd like to know where his international where his international playing days are.
Probably Ireland.
Ireland, yeah.
Ireland.
Makes just as much sense as Ghana and Germany.
That's right.
Yeah, really. I was just going to say.
So as a suffering Spurs fan from Buffalo, are you from Buffalo or do you just live there now?
Yep, absolutely. Born and raised.
Okay. Still up. So from Buffalo, and I'm assuming that means a Bills fan, so participation awards in the Super Bowl are really important to you. So as a suffering Spurs fan, what do you feel is Spurs' best lineup, either that they've had so far or that they've never had that you think that they should have?
I like two forwards. I've always been like a 4-4-2 guy. I like the diamond formation.
You're in good company here.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Yeah, especially I just don't understand it because they can't score goals. They haven't scored goals all season long. The back four, you could really throw anybody out there. I'm not a huge Younes Kabul fan. I don't know how he's the captain. I don't know how he's still around and not back at Portsmouth, where probably that matches his skill level. But we're kind of stuck with him back there. So he and Vertonghen, optimally, I don't know, health-wise, it would be nice to have Kyle Walker back there. So I'm just going to envision a December return for Kyle Walker right back. And unfortunately, Danny Rose at left back, because there's just no other option.
Eric Dier?
Yeah, he's been awful the last five games.
He's been your best striker.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the problem. But yeah, it doesn't seem like he's too in favor now either. I mean, Kyle Naughton's getting starts over him, which is never good. But, you know, he's still kind of young, very young, not kind of young. So that helps. And then they're obsessed. Pochettino, he's obsessed with Kapu, apparently, now as the defensive midfielder. I guess I'm okay with that. I've always been a Paulinho guy. I have no idea why. Maybe because he looks like Sanjay Gupta. I'm not sure. I don't know why. I just have been in love with Paulinho since he came to Spurs, and he's definitely one of the ones that looks like he will be gone in January. If they can even get a dollar for him, he'll be gone. But yeah, Kapu, Eriksen up top in front of Kapu, Lamela on one of the wings. The other wing, it's just good luck. Chadli has been great. I think it's
About to say he's been my favorite player on Spurs all season.
He's been lucky, see, I'm a Spurs fan, I'm jaded, I don't believe in any of this. It's all going to go away. Chadli, I have Gareth Bale stuck in my head still, too. But, yeah, I don't know if Chadli could even play up top. That's what I was wondering. I was kind of saving that, too, because if we're going to play two strikers, I don't know that they have two strikers. They only carry three, you know, on their 18 or 23 roster, so I would even like to experiment with Chadley up there, up top with Harry Kane. Adebayor seems on his way out. Soldado is a great Europa League striker, for what it's worth. But yeah, I wouldn't mind Chadley up top. He plays up top 75% of the time, it seems, anyways, with that lineup and the way Pochettino just gives those guys free reign to just go wherever. I mean, you never know where he and Eriksen are going to be anyways. So that's probably way too much time on.
No such thing.
Mid-table teams starting 11.
Where do you think they finish the end of the year?
8 to 10.
Okay, so no chance for European play next year.
But, oh, they're going to win Europa League and then qualify for Champions League.
Is that rule in effect this year?
Yeah, yep,
this is first it. Year. Yes.
Yep.
Well, that would be, and would that come at the cost of the team whoever finishes in fourth?
Sure would.
How poetic would that be if Chelsea somehow finished fourth?
Oh, that would be great.
Not going to happen, but I mean that would be very poetic. Just for in case anyone didn't know, the last time that Spurs qualified for Champions League, they were kicked out because Chelsea, who finished sixth that year, won the Champions League and kicked them out. So just a little bit of history for everybody, but we're going to stay focused on the future. Laird, I'm going to ask you the same question except for your team, for Arsenal. When everyone's healthy, what do you think their best lineup is, namely when Olivier Giroud and Theo Walcott are fully back healthy? And then if you want to throw it in on the back, if when Debuchy is healthy as well.
Well, don't forget Mesut Ozil as well. But
I actually didn't think he played that well when he was playing. So I wouldn't be surprised if you left him off the 11. But anyway, moving forward.
I think he's in there. But it's a kind of a weird situation because I also much prefer the two-striker set. But I'm not sure it fits with this team just because they're just so midfield heavy like they always are. But in the back, I'd go... Mertesacker, Koscielny, Chambers, and Gibbs. I actually don't think Debuchy belongs in that back. I mean, I guess you could move Chambers to the middle, but I think that kind of takes away a lot of his ability. So I like Chambers and Gibbs on the outside, and then the midfield is kind of just a mess because I would love to say someone like Sami Khedira, or they could even settle for Carvalho, but. At this point, it's somebody, you know, they're going to be stuck with.
We'll get to the future players on future teams later.
Yeah.
Stick with who you have right now, at least.
I think they'll play five in the midfield with Ramsey, Ozil, Walcott, Sanchez, and probably Jack Wilshere. I would prefer Cazorla. Neither of them really play defense. That's kind of the problem that they have is that they don't have any holding, so... But I would put those five in the midfield and then Welbeck up top by himself.
Even when Giroud is healthy, you'd rather have Welbeck up there?
Yeah, I think he's a better finisher. And Giroud, you know, there's something to be said about being in the right place at the right time, but I don't have a lot of confidence in his true finishing ability, whereas I feel like Welbeck is a little better scoring from beyond 3 yards.
So here's the problem I see with that lineup, and it could be the problem with Arsenal's system overall. You have all these great attacking midfielders, but you don't have a holding guy to get them the ball, and you don't have a guy up top who can hold on to the ball to have them run onto the ball and when they get it into the attacking third. Mm-hmm. So you have all these attacking midfielders who are just standing around waiting for the ball to get to someone who can't hold it.
Correct. And I mean, I think...
So that's a perfect recipe for finishing fourth for every year, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay. I think what they really should try to do, and only because he's so young, is to try to make Chambers into a holding midfielder. But ultimately, they're just going to keep him in the back.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do for now. And they've even played him. Center back, right? At the beginning of the year. So.
Yeah, he's basically their backup center back, and which is why Nacho Monreal is back there now because Chambers has to fill in for Debuchy. So, man, shocking that Arsenal is dealing with injuries.
What a mess! What an absolute mess! Well, let's try to move on to more positive notes here. Let's move on to Southampton and West Ham. Which team will more likely continue their surprising start to the season? West Ham in fourth and Southampton in second. So we'll start with Laird Eno for this one.
I'm going to pick Southampton, partially because they've already beaten West Ham. I think it literally will come between the two of them. You know, I think they're going to be close. West Ham has already beaten Liverpool and Man City, which is a pretty solid resume. They have not played Chelsea, Arsenal, Everton, or Swansea, though. So those are eight games right there that, you know, can that will be very tough. Southampton's good wins are West Ham and Arsenal. They won at Arsenal, so that certainly helps. But they still have to play Chelsea, Man City, and Everton twice. And I'll throw in Manchester United because I think, you know, they have at least one win in them. But I like just the way that Southampton is playing. They're much better defensively than West Ham. And I think they can sort of score along the same lines. So I think Southampton finishes above them.
And then, Kevin, what about you?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be contrarian, but I love West Ham. I don't know how to stop them when they're fully going on offense. I love Sacco. He's one of my favorite players in the league to watch just weekend out, weekend in. Like you were saying, Andrew, the defense is really scary. But there's something endearing about West Ham, and maybe it's a homer pick. Maybe I'm not completely thinking straight. But I love a team that still has Kevin Nolan and Mark Noble on their squad. Just as a purist, just seeing those guys out there week in and week out is fantastic. As somebody who used to wake up, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning way back in the day when there were only one or two games on, seeing those guys out there. As far as from on the field, like you said, I just, you know, it's Sacco, the forwards, the goalkeeping too. I don't know if it's because of Spurs fan. Every time I watch, Adrian's just on his head, just stopping anything, just making the most insane saves in the league. So anytime you have that combination of offense, white hot goalkeeper, I think it's just they have it for some reason. I know that's not the most in-depth analysis. That's what I wrote down, though. It's just it seems like they have it, and players like Song and Noble in the midfield, they just that's that steadying hand that I don't think they've had in the last few years.
Yeah, and another point, and I also think it's West Ham as well. I don't think you're being contrarian at all. And the reason why I say West Ham is because they have you know, a plan A, and they can also clearly play from behind with a plan B. If they need to go the direct route and just bang balls forward, who better than the forwards that they have in Enner Valencia and Diafra Sakho? Then you can throw in Andy Carroll.
No, don't say it. Oh, there you go.
I had to. Andy Carroll and Carlton Cole. I mean, all four of those guys are big, and they can knock the ball down and knock the ball in. Two of the four have proven it this year, and four of the four have proven that they can do it in that style previously under Sam Allardyce. And I believe that they have a good plan B, and their plan A is working very well so far. I don't see that from Southampton. When they start playing teams again, when teams start seeing them a second time, it's like a pitcher, like a rookie pitcher in Major League Baseball when there's a book out on them, or a hitter. Either, you know, it's just like a rookie system or a rookie player. Once the book is out, I don't know if they have a plan B or a way to adjust.
That's right. You kind of also have to see West Ham being 7 points better than Southampton, or 8 points, really, because they're seven back now. So I think that's a pretty sizable. I mean, Southampton's closer to Chelsea than West Ham is to Southampton at this point.
That's true. I'm not going to say that it'll be easy. I don't think it's 90% sure. I'm not betting on it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're gun to my head, I'm still going to say West Ham. And, you know, a lot will be determined at the Christmas break. And we're going to find out a lot about Southampton very, very shortly. You know, their fixture list, especially at home coming up, is really, really tough. They play the top five teams, basically, as their next games at home. So let me see here. They have Aston Villa next, but then they have Man City and Arsenal and Man United back-to-back-to-back weeks. We'll find out a lot about them just before we even get to the holidays. That's a tough stretch. And then from there, they still have to play they play Everton at home next, and then they play Chelsea at home after that. And then Man United again. And it's really tough. I mean, their next month and a half is not easy. So we're going to find out more about Southampton. I don't think being 7 points behind them now is that far, considering that fixture list coming up.
So and I wonder about money being splashed on some of their players in January as well. I know if they're top four, top seven, even looking for Europe, they'll be hard pressed to sell. But sometimes big money might roll in. I mean, guys like Klein, Bertrand, even
Morgan Schneider,
Rodriguez, like all of those guys are hot commodities, and I don't know if they can wait or if you sell hot in the position Southampton's in.
So where does West Ham finish?
I think they finish in Europe, top seven.
That's bold. And do you think where do you think Southampton finishes then?
It's going to be close. Like
if you say seventh, I mean that means you're putting who above them?
8 to 10. It would definitely be Everton, Chelsea, that team.
So you have Everton. Do you have Liverpool above them as well?
Yeah, I believe in Liverpool. It's hard not to.
What about Manchester United?
United, absolutely. I'm buying. I'm all in on them.
We'll get to that later.
Mike is very happy to hear that.
Conflicting views on that one. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I have to regretfully, say Arsenal.
But not Tottenham. City.
No. I'll be happy to be in the single digits. With Tottenham. But that's as a Buffalo sports fan and a Tottenham fan, so that's double whammy. Nothing good will ever happen.
Yeah. nothing like a reverse jinx there.
Right.
But we'll get to more about United later because we have a whole topic dedicated to them coming up, but I think we've now spent way too much time on West Ham and Southampton. I want to keep moving on, but we've started talking about how teams are finishing up. Is the title race as far as who's going to finish first? Is it over already? I asked Andrew this weekend. He said it was over before the weekend even started.
I was going to say I think I said it last weekend.
Yep, you said it was over before last weekend even started.
Yeah,
and then Man City and Arsenal lost and Chelsea won. So, Man City drew.
Drew, yeah.
Yep, but both of them drop points to Chelsea. So, Kevin, do you think it's over already?
It's over. Oh, it's over. It's over. It's clinical. 20 points, maybe? 15 to 20 points they'll win the league by, I think. I don't know how bold that is because what are they up? 7 or 10 by now already?
Oh, there are four on Southampton.
Sheesh.
Southampton's only lost twice, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, I'm just worried, like you guys are, how that will affect them once they get into the knockout stage of the Champions League. I can't see a guy like Costa going out there against Leicester when they have a midweek game in Europe or something, for example. So from a fantasy standpoint, that really concerns me. But yeah, it's over. So they have nothing to play for. They want to win. Mourinho wants to stroke his ego. They want the Champions League more than anything. So I just worry from a fantasy perspective that those guys might sit. Fabregas might not see, especially now that he's got a little bit of a knock, he might not see too much league time moving forward if this league just gets bigger and bigger.
And then Andrew, what do you think as well?
Yeah.
About the complacency part, or not complacency, but because they still have the invincible, like they still haven't lost yet. So they're still probably chasing that, but if that goes, they lose to somebody. Do you fear rotation or?
I would fear rotation even without a loss because obviously Diego Costa is a significantly better striker than Loic Remy, but Remy's probably better than most strikers in the league himself. So it's not like they have, it's not like they're going from. I don't even want to insult anyone with where we can go with that, but they still have plenty of talent that they can put out there. So I kind of agree that Costa is definitely going to be rested throughout the season. We've spoken previously about, maybe restarting the false nine with Andre Schürrle if he sticks around, but Remy and Drogba, like,
that's not happening. It's not happening.
That's fair. I think they realize that they could probably win the Premier League comfortably, and winning the Champions League is going to take some work, and that work is going to require sitting Costa and possibly Fabregas. I'm guessing Eden Hazard probably plays it all the time because he just never seems to slow down.
He's also very young. That helps.
That helps.
So yeah, I would say that the guys that are safest on that team would be Hazard and Oscar.
Well, you know,
as long as Oscar's playing the way that he is now, I think those two guys are the cornerstones of what Mourinho's trying to do.
But Oscar's traditionally been a very tired player by the end of the season.
Chances on Modric scoring more goals, but I don't think he will. Yeah. But as far as fantasy relevant players, I would go with those two in the midfield.
Yeah, Oscar.
As far as Chelsea is concerned,
Oscar struggles
but with play. So we'll move on from Chelsea, though. So we're going to get to Manchester United now. So Kevin, we're going to have some opposing words here. I've been a critic of all things Manchester United, saying that there's not really a trustable option for fantasy. And they're given their recent play, I've been proven pretty correct. And I'm wondering what you see that's going to be different going forward, especially with fantasy relevancy.
When I first think fantasy relevancy, I know there are analytics about Di Maria, but he gets results. He makes one ball. For every 10 balls that are awful, he does have one that he puts in. And whether it's Fellaini or Rooney or somebody can get it in on a set piece or any kind of cross in from the wing. So I do like with Di Maria, I do like him getting more comfortable as the season goes on in England. You know, we've seen it a bunch of times with these guys who come over from Spain. They need, you know, 2-3 months or through the winter break, even through Christmas, to get acclimated to the English game. So I do like, from a fantasy standpoint, Di Maria. I think they are also kind of a reflection of the rest of the league. They, week to week, you have no idea form wise what it's going to take, and that's why it's maddening. But from a fantasy perspective, I would have no problem with plugging Di Maria into my midfield week to week and going from there.
Yeah, and but what about others? You said that you're really buying in. I mean, who else are you buying into that's going to vault them up the table? If you can't get consistency from, you know, a set of strikers, you're going to struggle to score goals. It's been proven time and time again in the Premier League. So where are the goals going to come from?
Right, and because they carry the name, United, their players are going to all relatively be overvalued and overpriced. That's the only other issue. Like, so when I say that I'm all in, I guess that's more on field. Fantasy wise, it's tough. It's they're always going to be overpriced. I like Di Maria's price, but Van Persie's wildly overpriced. Obviously, Rooney's wildly overpriced. So it's hard to justify, I guess, if I'm splitting hairs between fantasy and on the field. I think on the field they could push for top four, but like I said, fantasy wise, you know, Di Maria is the only one I can justify value for, and economically, I guess.
Yeah, and what I'm struggling with, to if you feel like they're going to vault up the table, we've seen their defense; it's shambolic. And now we're saying that we don't really have. I mean, all their options are overpriced in fantasy, which means it's a code word for saying they're not scoring consistently. So if you have forwards that aren't scoring consistently and shambolic defending, and you have one talisman, which is a very good one, I don't want to discount Angel Di Maria. He's been doing great, considering that he just got to the Premier League. I think their best player, even though it hasn't counted in fantasy, has been David De Gea. He's been amazing. But given what I was saying about the defense and the inconsistent strike force, how do you see them going up the table?
Well, I'm encouraged by their form against City and Chelsea. You can make the point against City, and I know it sounds like a gimmick because in the end it's about the final score, but they were just as good, if not better, with the ball. Chelsea, I mean, they drew Chelsea, which is a gigantic accomplishment for anybody in this league at this point. But then you look at Leicester, and I understand that's probably what you'll throw back with those results, but I've just been encouraged with the way they look, just the eyeball test. It's really just a gut feeling. When I read the question, when I hear the question, I'm not by any means a United fan, but I just have faith in Van Gaal. Van Gaal knows what he's doing way more than Moyes. He knows his players. It looks like he knows his team way more than their manager did over an entire season last year. So it's just a gut feeling. It's something I see. I do think that there are teams above them that will fall, so that will help too, like Southampton, obviously West Ham. So I think that can move them up Yeah. Around that fifth, fourth battle.
I think if we were just looking at numbers and we didn't see Manchester United and we saw a team that gave up two goals in their last three games, including Man City and Chelsea, I think we would say maybe this team is turning around defensively. But because they were so awful early on, they still can't figure out who their back four is, mostly because of injuries. But I think the name Manchester United is actually pulling them away because we were crapping on their defense so much earlier in the season.
It's pretty bad.
It's bad. But they've given up two goals in three matches. I mean, that's pretty good. Especially against two teams that are arguably, one of which we just said is running away with the league, and another that's going to compete for second. Right? I mean, shouldn't we be giving them a little more credit?
I don't think. I mean, first of all, they gave up two goals to City. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. It's going to be hard.
One goal.
Oh, sorry. What did I say? Two?
Yeah.
Sorry. The two goals in the last three games that they gave up, I mean, it's... And it's not like they scored a bunch when they did it. That's the problem.
I agree. I'm just saying defensively.
The problem that I see is that they're either doing one or the other. They can't put a complete 90 together. Right? They haven't done it yet, and they've played a variety of teams. And now Daley Blind's going to have to play center back now, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty disgusting, actually. I think Daley Blind actually might be a decent value at midfield, if he gets defender credit ever. If he gets defender credit when he's playing in the midfield, that actually might be a decent value, throwing that out there. But it's – man, I just don't see it. I don't see the turnaround coming. I mean, they're at the same pace as they were with Moyes last year, numbers-wise, points-wise, where it counts. But I guess I'll just be in the minority with this one. I don't want to spend too much time on it. I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of opinions on United because they're United. When Paddy McNair is coming, you know what I mean? It's like you see like the benches of City, of Arsenal even, of all these different teams that they're competing with. And they're bringing out Paddy McNair.
Well, in fairness, they've had – it's literally like four or five center backs that have been out. That's why McNair played. I mean, they were down Jones, Evans, Smalling, Blackett, who is another one who probably shouldn't have been there anyway. But
yeah.
Rojo, I mean, these guys are
– Rojo, by the way, who is not a center back.
Well, yeah.
I want to throw that out there. This is a team that had personnel needs – under Van Gaal, by the way, that were completely ignored in the guise of getting a big name midfielder who they already had a ton of. It's just
don't forget a Colombian striker that they didn't need.
Yeah, they may not even get to keep.
Right.
So it's just I mean, unless they do something drastic in January, which they might do. By the way, if Moyes had 200 and some odd million, the team could have been much different under him too. I just don't like it that everyone dumps on Moyes when he didn't get the support nearly that Van Gaal has gotten from both the fans and the administration at Manchester United. I just don't think it's very fair.
Fair enough.
I think there was a little bit there that he didn't want to do too much because it was almost like a slap in the face to Sir Alex of I'm actually going to come in and gut all the players that you left me with when he was, you know, personally tapped as the successor. So I think some of that is on Moyes. I don't think he's completely blameless.
Yeah, and now Sir Alex is putting out there now that he did not handpick Moyes, which is utter crap. All right, but let's move back to Fantasy Premier League here. So who's going to lead the Premier League in goals from this point on moving forward? Who do you think?
I can't pick anybody but Aguero. Like I said, we have that concern with Costa moving ahead with Champions League and how much rest he might get. I mean, Aguero, obviously, there's the health concerns, but I can't pick against him at all. He can post four or five in a game. That's the scariest thing. So, yeah, I can't pick against Kun Aguero.
Yeah, I actually had the same answer. The only other thought I had was possibly Daniel Sturridge since, until now doesn't count. I'm very anxious to see what Liverpool looks like with him there because I really believe they're a significantly different team with him on the pitch. I'm just It's tough, as Kevin said, going against Agüero. You're basically just saying it's because he's going to get hurt, which we all know he will, but it's a matter of whether he misses three games or 13 games.
Yep. And yeah, barring health, I have the same answer. But the other guy who I was going to throw out there was actually Graziano Pelle. You know he's going to play. And he's been involved in a ton of their goals, so he's always seems to be in the right place, Costa style. So that would be the other name that I would throw out there. But yes, it's going to be a clean sweep. I do think it's Agüero. And same question. Now we'll start with Lerdinho for assists from today on. I mean, right now it's Fabregas running away with everything. But do you think that's going to continue going forward, basically?
No, and I'm going to say no to Fabregas for the same reason I said no to Costa. I don't think he's going to play enough in Premier League games because of where they are on the table.
You know, they could lose early in Champions League, guys. I don't want to, like, throw that out there. They could get knocked out.
Yeah, but then you got to go strong after the Capital One Cup. And
I don't think anyone's ever uttered that statement ever. But anyway, back to the assists.
I think it's going to be Di Maria.
Okay. That's very fair. Kevin, what about you?
I agree. I also, under the radar value guy from a fantasy perspective, and I got to watch him a couple years ago, or for a few years, I do like Guilfi. I don't know why. He's a provider, man. He's rugged. I know he's up there now. I worry about who he's feeding the ball to. But I do think Swansea is very tough. And I think he kind of holds it together for them. He's kind of been a linchpin for them. I think he's got 7 now. I think he's like second in the Premiership. So I believe I'm a Guilfi believer, and I was gutted when he left Spurs, actually.
That free kick against Arsenal was no joke either.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Almost as good as Alexis Sanchez getting 2 cracks at a free kick, right?
That's right. At least he put one of them in.
He did put one of them in. And yes, Guilfi is second, alone in second.
He's right ahead of Tadic, right?
Correct. And that's actually who I was going to say. Mm-hmm. It was going to be Tadic. I was debating between Di Maria and Tadic going forward. But the reason why I say Tadic is because once Sadio Mane is really embedded into that team, him and Pele, that's pretty scary. Both of them have a lot of quality, and I don't think either of them are getting. I don't think any of those three guys from Southampton are getting transferred this window. Schneiderlin might, J-Rod probably, but
so how do you quantify Pele being the leading scorer, Tadic leading in assists, and West Ham finishing ahead of Southampton?
Because Stuart Downing is not the only one getting assists, and Diafra. I mean, I just because the individuals may do well doesn't mean that they're going to win all those games.
That's fair.
I do think that they will continue to score, and I think that those two players that I mentioned will be involved in a large percentage of them. And West Ham have the more depth, quite honestly, and West Ham have the ability to acquire more depth with their financial system that they have. So. Don't forget that Andy Carroll may get transferred out, and Carlton Cole likely will be transferred out. I mean, they may get money in from transferring some players out, so they can even have an even bigger budget. But Southampton's financial structure is that they want 50% at least of their roster to be homegrown. So that means they're not going to dip into the market. It's just that simple. So I don't think that that's going to happen. Okay. So that to answer your question, that would be my answer. All right, and now I think I'm getting the pattern here, but who's going to be the most disappointing player going forward from here? I have this funny sense that it's going to be like a Diego Costa here because he may not play.
I'm gonna go with somebody that is already disappointing, and I just don't think he's going to get any better, and it's Yaya Toure. He's been a horrific fantasy producer this season. And I'm just not sure he turns it around, especially since he's going to miss 6 weeks because of the African Cup of Nations. So if, you know, for cumulative stats for the season, I think it's going to be a complete lost year for Toure.
Speaking of the African Cup of Nations, Morocco, host, has now...
Who knows where it's going to be now.
Exactly. Anyway, moving on. Kevin, who do you think will be the most disappointing player going forward? Someone who has a lot of value now, but won't.
There's a lot of Tottenham bias in my pick, but I wrote down when I saw the question... Alexis Sanchez. I don't get it. I do look. And I guess it's from great to good is the step down I'm looking at. I don't think he's going to fall off the map, but I look at his price tag and I just don't see it. I wanted to make maybe a little bit of a controversial pick as I look over the big names and the big price tags is kind of where I went with it. So yeah, I'm looking at Sanchez. He's been steady. There's something about watching them that makes me sick to my stomach already because of the Tottenham Arsenal thing. But his shorts being way too short also makes me sick to my stomach.
Him and Alex Song have a race for who's going to expose more of themselves legally.
Yeah. Legit. And you know, I don't know how it's going to unfold with him, especially with that midfield so stacked and, you know, Wenger's lineup. Week to week, just head scratchers. But I don't see it.
Do you think he'll suffer when Walcott comes back?
I was just
about to say a little bit, yeah. He's still going to provide. It won't be the goals. I'm sure he'll still be a provider and get more back outside like he was at Barca. But yeah, he'll still be good. I just don't think he'll be great. You know, third leading scorer type of player moving forward.
Gotcha. So you're saying sell now if you have them?
Yeah, absolutely. Look elsewhere.
Okay. All right. So let's move on here.
Who was yours?
Oh, mine? It's Diego Costa.
Oh.
For the reasons that you guys described. I'm doubling down here. Before the season started, I didn't think he was going to be that great. And if you ask me after the quarter pole of the season, my concerns about the goal scoring are no longer there. My concern about him adjusting to the physical play of the Premier League is definitely still there. He's already battling injuries. There's only so much horse placenta in the world. At some point, they will run out. It's just a matter of time. So
I believe your line was, "I would prefer Hulk."
I really, you know what? Everyone craps on Hulk. I just don't think he's
the Hulk. Crapping on Hulk. I'm crapping on you, Mike.
Well, of course, but Hulk has not been in a good situation at Brazil. I mean, the Brazil team was dysfunctional pretty much the whole way through. I still think that he'd be great under this system. I really do.
Yeah.
But I will double down saying that it is Diego Costa disappointing fantasy owners from here on out.
Yeah, and like you said, what's going to happen is they're going to draw Madrid when the knockout stage runs around, and we're all going to look like morons.
No, they couldn't draw them at least at first.
Right, right.
They're both probably going to win groups.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But in round of eight, that something will happen.
The team that's going to draw Madrid, you know who it's going to be, right?
Arsenal.
Arsenal.
I actually think Arsenal is going to lose. Going to draw Bayern.
That would be unfair.
Just keep the German.
They go through Dortmund, and then you have the misery of Bayern. Yeah, that'd be pretty bad. But you know, we'll find out. So let's move on here. So who's going to be on the contrast of this as far as the disappointing player? Who's going to be that player who comes out of relatively nowhere to sparkle from now until January 1st? I can't really – no one's going to be sparkling from here to the end of the year. So let's just say until January 1st. So we'll start with – actually, you know what? I'll start with myself here. I actually think it's going to be a Tottenham player, and I think it's going to be Christian Eriksen. He's shown spurts. And I'm usually not a huge Tottenham, I'm not a huge Tottenham player supporter, but I do think Christian Eriksen's showing signs of life in this offense here. And the more Harry Kane plays, the more that I like Christian Eriksen. So I think that trend's going to continue. So Kevin, who do you think will be a player that comes out of relatively nowhere to sparkle here?
I like the way QPR, they just play, they don't, give a care, I'll say. I almost said a curse word. But yeah, I like Charlie Austin a lot. I like what they're doing at QPR. They play wide open, play with that, you know what? We were picked to get relegated coming into the year, so who cares? It's Harry Redknapp. It's just go out, run around, score goals. So value-wise, he's a great value, although his price tag has been rising. But I like Charlie Austin a lot. Under the radar, but a guy that – even through January 1st, I like him a lot. I would go with Charlie Austin at QPR.
It took everything in my willpower not to pick a Hull player, just to throw that out there. I really wanted to pick Nikita Jelovic, but it's just we've talked about Hull so much on this podcast. But Andrew, who's yours?
I'm not sure if he can really be classified as coming out of nowhere, but I kind of like the way Samuel Eto'o is playing right now, and he's kind of now starting to get more of a regular role at Everton. And I think that with the, they're kind of playing him a little bit in the midfield now. I just think the more he plays, the more he's going to be able to put him. He's one of those guys that, you know, can put himself in the right positions to score. I kind of wanted to say Andy Carroll also, but I'm just not sure how much he's really going to play. You know, he's obviously going to get enough, you know, get some playing time. But when you look at that, at the possible strikers, like, are they going to sit Valencia for him? Would they sit Sacco? They're probably not going to play all three of them at the same time. That would be amazing if they did. But I'm just not sure he's going to play enough in the next, you know, basically month and a half to warrant starting over those guys. But, you know, once the, like we said, with that Christmas condensed schedule, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he got a start or two. But until then, I'm not sure he gets enough playing time. I'd like to see it, though.
Yeah, it would certainly be entertaining.
Yeah.
So that would be a lot of fun to see. And a lot of fun from now is, now this is pure speculation here. There are no numbers. No, I mean, we're going off of pure rumors and speculation. It's time to play our favorite game. Where are they going to play next year? And we're going to start off with the most ridiculous transfer rumor that we've heard for the last couple months. We'll start with Lardinho on this one. Where is Cristiano Ronaldo playing next year?
Real Madrid. Just stop it.
Okay. Kevin?
Ditto.
All right, perfect. We've now dispelled that rumor. All right, well, there's been some recent rumors here that Real Madrid, especially if Cristiano Ronaldo leaves the team, they would just pick up Kun Aguero. So where is Kun Aguero going to play next year? And we'll start with Kevin.
I guess, I mean, I don't want to just keep saying yes, 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 stay. I can see a situation even, you know, if Benzema stops. I mean, he's been red hot lately, but maybe if Benzema does decide to go elsewhere, they decide to sell Benzema, maybe there's a situation where they keep Ronaldo and still go get Aguero, but I just don't see it. Benzema's still a monster. He's only 26. So yeah, Aguero's staying.
And Lardinho?
Yeah, he's staying.
All right. So we took care of the two most ridiculous ones first. I just wanted to dispel the two bad. These are the rumors that, like, even when you read them, you're like, this makes absolutely no sense. We'll start to get into some more legitimacy now. So Edison Cavani / Zlatan Ibrahimovic, either, neither, or both will be on PSG next year. We'll start with myself this time. I think that only Zlatan will be on the team next year. I believe that Cavani goes to a team in the Premier League because they can afford a salary. And I'm going to just take a wild guess and say that it's Arsenal on this one. Hmm. So, Laird, we'll go to you next.
I don't see Wenger spending that much for a striker. I think he's much more content wasting money in the midfield when he doesn't need it. And so I'm actually not sure Cavani goes anywhere. I think they may both stay. I think we're going to hear some wonderful Ibrahimovic to New York City FC rumors that will get everybody in New York very excited until they end up getting nobody. But I'm just not sure that there's anyone in the Premier League that can afford Cavani that is going to get him. You know, it's like Man City doesn't need him. Chelsea won't go after him. Liverpool will have to sell off some pieces if they really do want to pay for that. So I'm just not sure where the fit is in England. And I don't see him heading back to Italy either.
Who, Cavani?
Yeah. I'm sorry, not...
Okay, so Kevin, what about you?
If we're gonna go into the summer, I think Cavani could end up at United. If he goes, that's, I would, you know, lean towards they stay, but I think Ibra will stay. I think that's just a perfect situation. He just meant to play there. It's just, look, watching them, he's just meant to play there. It's comfortable for him. They just roll the ball out. They're going to win the league, and he can just be goofy Ibra and just be on his own kind of obscurely in Europe. But Cavani, money-wise, like you had said, he's just going to get more money. His contract's going to get huge, and he's just price tag's going to rise. So, yeah, if he does go somewhere in England, I would say United's got the money. I can see him at United.
Gotcha. Yeah, I could certainly see that, and the last contender I would see would be Liverpool. But I, I think that Cavani will go, and I think it's going to be Arsenal-Liverpool. But we'll move on to Pedro now. Pedro's been in the rumors recently from Barcelona because of the whole Suarez, Neymar, and Messi ordeal being there. Mm. He's feeling a little unappreciated, and it's pretty easy to see why. So this could be ripe with opportunity for Arsenal to spend more money on the midfield. We'll start with Kevin, though.
Yeah, I think he stays. I think he stays. If they get him in the right position, I think he might be a little bit out of position right now. Everybody's out of position with that lineup. Nobody on that squad knows where they're going to be when they walk into the locker room every game. But I think he stays. He's beloved in Barcelona, so I just don't see him moving.
Okay, Mr. Arsenal fan, are you hoping that Pedro comes your way or no?
Not really. I mean, he's certainly like an upgrade, but for what they'll have to pay to get him, I'm just not sure they're willing to spend that much for a guy who, you know, then puts somebody else that they recently bought on the bench. So I just keep basically holding my breath for a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, as you should, because you do need one.
Right.
All right. So
we need two of them.
Yeah, probably. Andre Schürrle has been making the rounds in the rumors lately. As the resident Chelsea fan, I will say that I hope he doesn't go, because I think when he plays, he does well. But if he does go, I hope that he is part of an exchange for the next player on the list of Marco Reus coming from Borussia Dortmund and having Schürrle going to Borussia Dortmund. I think it'd be a good deal for both teams. So I want to kind of lump those two together. So Kevin, I'll throw this to you. Do you think that move can happen or will happen? And if it doesn't happen, do you think they both stay where they are?
Well, Schürrle's gone. I think at 24, he needs to be playing, and I just see him playing in Germany. So I would be on board with the move. I can completely see him moving. Chelsea, they're just obsessed. I mean, it's going to happen. Reus will end up at Chelsea. It's just a matter of when. I'm sure it'll be over the summer. But, yeah, I can see that move happening. As for Schürrle, I don't know if he'll end up there or maybe – if Munich has space for him, but I can see him going back to the Bundesliga. It seems like the most natural fit.
And Laird, what about you?
I don't know if it happens as a direct switch, but I kind of agree.
Well, partial switch. It would be like Schürrle and Cash.
No. I mean, I don't think Schürrle necessarily ends up at Dortmund. I think he does go back. You know, does go to Germany, and I don't know where else Reus goes other than Chelsea. I mean, obviously there are dozens of
Arsenal, Liverpool.
He's already basically laughed at the idea of going to Arsenal, Liverpool.
All those Germans just aren't helping, huh?
No. I guess not. Which is the same reason why they haven't gotten Kadira yet. So, I'm not sure he would choose Liverpool over Chelsea. So, other than that, you know, I'm not sure he ends up. You know, United has the money for him, but I don't know if he necessarily would want to go there either. So I haven't seen anything that makes me think he wants to go anywhere other than Chelsea. You know, the Real Madrid's always talked about just because they have the money, but I don't think he goes there either. So
no guaranteed spot to play.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think the deal will be completed in January, but not transacted until the summer. I think that if there's a swap deal to be had, I think it will be done in January just so they can get something for him guaranteed. Because if it goes to the summer, they get nothing.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that Dortmund and Chelsea are going to meet in the Champions League final, and then he won't play because of that. Similar to what Mario Götze did a few years ago.
That was disgraceful. And I hope that we can convince our buddy Justin to write some sort of legal article about that. But we'll move on now to a pair of Manchester United players in Juan Mata and Radamel Falcao, or at least currently a Manchester United player, but he is still property of Monaco. Mm-hmm. Do you see neither or both on United come January/June? So, Laird, we'll start with you.
I think they're both gone in June. I'm not sure quite where they go. Falcao's not going to Monaco. Like they're done paying him. So they just need to find somebody who's willing to take that on. It's starting to look like United's not going to be that club just because he can't get fit, which kind of takes out a number of a number of Premier League clubs because, you know, he's so expensive. Theoretically, he could be a Cavani replacement if they think he could play with Ibrahimovic, but I'm not sure. I don't see in United. Mata's an interesting one because I think he does. Mata has the skill set to perform in England. I'm just not sure, you know, the clubs that are willing to pay as much as they need to get him. You know, it's Arsenal, you know, it's the top Arsenal, Chelsea, not that Chelsea's not going to get him back, especially with Royce a possibility. So, you know, you start looking else, you know, could he go to, I guess PSG is probably the only option in France right now, since Monaco's not paying, since Monaco's trying to rid themselves of salary. And theoretically, you know, there, I'm sure there are a number of clubs in Spain that would be willing to make a call for him, but United paid £37 million for him, and I'm not sure they're willing to take such a huge loss, even though they're not playing him.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I do, you know, not knowing where Falcao will end up, he won't, you know, I don't think he'll, the permanent switch will happen. I think he will find, have to be found elsewhere. But I do think with Mata, I think Atletico is a nice, it's the kind of perfect situation, like you had kind of alluded to a little bit. I'm not sure about the English game suiting him. He has shown that he can play there, but I think in Spain, it's just perfect for him. I think it's a good setup. He won't be on one of the two giant clubs, but he'll still be getting Champions League football. And so I think I could see him. He's gone, I think, in the summer. And I would say, like, the number one landing spot for I can see for him would be Atletico.
For some reason, I think if he goes back to Spain, he goes to Real. I just don't think he wants – he's done. He's done what he's needed to do at Atletico. I think that he's going to move on to somewhere else. I actually wouldn't be surprised if PSG goes in for him.
I thought about that, yeah.
So that would be a big splash that they can make, even in January. Not in January, but they definitely in June. I think they're both gone. For Juan Mata, I can see Atletico for him for sure, because Koke, he's going to be wanted by everybody again.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be a natural replacement situation there. So yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. We talked about him a little bit, but Sami Khedira, do you think he finally makes a switch to the Premier League or no? So we'll start with Kevin.
I think it's time. You know, the Arsenal rumors, they've just been too strong and actually too legitimate. As far as the sources of the rumors, they're not just, you know, I don't want to name any websites, but you know what I'm talking about. So I think, yeah.
The TMZs of the world? No.
Yeah, on. Yeah. Rhymes with schmoll.schmom. So Khedira is going to be a gunner next season.
Do you think it could happen in January or June?
I would say June.
So it sounds like a pretty not so active January window from you guys so far.
It always is overhyped, I feel like. I don't know the last time there was a substantial, huge move. I know Torres, obviously.
That was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I think January window does get a little bit overhyped.
Was Mata January?
Yep.
Yeah, he was. Right? Yeah.
Mata to which one? The Mata to Chelsea or Mata to Man U?
To Man U.
That was yes, that paid for Modic, basically.
Right, right.
Ridiculous. Plus $15 million.
Unbelievable.
It's pretty sweet. Unbelievable. All right, so let's get to a couple of players that are on lower level teams now and to see what's going to happen to them. The two that I had my eye on being transferred out possibly as early as January, because they're not cup tied. That's the reason why these guys are more likely to be transferred if there's going to be a big deal to be done. But the two fullbacks were Southampton. Nathaniel Klein, Ryan Bertrand is currently on loan from Chelsea. Do you think that loan may become permanent, actually, in January to me to help pay for other moves? And then Nathaniel Klein, I think he has a chance to move out as well, because if he wants to play, there might be a Champions League team that wants a fullback, and he leads the Premier League in tackles. So he's proven it on both going forward and actually playing responsibly at the back. So do you think there's any truth to either of those two possibly leaving in January or at the latest June?
So you think Bertrand's loan will become permanent so that they can sell him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that I don't think that there's room for him. with Felipe Luis, Azpilicueta, and with...
Well, no, I mean, he's definitely excess at Chelsea, but you're saying that Southampton is going to buy him in order to get rid of him.
No. Sorry. Sorry. I meant for Ryan Bertrand to be permanently going to Southampton. Southampton would actually just buy him, but potentially in June. Well, I guess I made that a little more confusing. For Nathaniel Klein, I meant what I really wanted to say, but for Ryan Bertrand, I meant just for the loan to become permanent.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I think Bertrand definitely stays, and I agree. I think they'll do whatever they can to keep him because he's been great for them, and he has no reason to go back to Chelsea.
This year's Lukaku.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think he stays. I think Klein stays. I think ultimately it all comes down to how they look. I mean, this sounds stupid, but it all depends how they come at, how they look going into January. Like, if they can get out of that Christmas, deluge of matches and still have a good spot up top, you know, if they're still,
they're going to play City United and Arsenal very soon.
Right. So if they're still, in that top five range, I don't see why they would sell.
Top five range, the most they can lose is 9 points in those three games, and let's say on another team that wins all three of their games in that time, and that would still put them in fifth, I believe.
Well,
still?
I mean, there are more matches from now until January. They could falter before those three.
Well, I'm talking about like in the next 3 or 4 weeks, they play those three teams.
Right, and I'm saying it won't be then that they decide whether they're going to sell or not. It's going to be January 1 when they get through that Christmas, or it's really January 2, I guess, because all the matches are on New Year's Day. But I think if they're still in as good as fifth, maybe even sixth at that point, I think they keep everybody.
Yep, okay, that's fair. And Kevin, do you feel the same way? Southampton's not going to sell anybody?
The loan move will definitely be made permanent, but yeah, there's no way, even through the window, unless they have a disastrous next month and a half, 2 months, that they're all going to stay through the season and they're going to push for top seven. I think they'll, obviously scrap for it. But yeah, they're going all in, I think, all the way through May. So I don't think any of those guys are going anywhere.
Do you think they'll try to add a big name to try to push, or no?
I'm just not sure how much money they would have to do so. Obviously, it'd probably be a loan move. If they did do that, but I just can't think of any names off the top of my head that they would. They can have Soldado if they want him. I'll sell him to him for a dollar. But other than that, I don't know any names. So I think they would definitely be they would not be sellers. They're definitely buyers at this point.
Sure.
I think I'm. Yeah, I mean, if they also hold on to Jay Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's.
I don't think that's a possibility.
I'm just saying they're not going to get significant value for him in January, having come off this torn ACL. So maybe he's the name that they add. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they can stay competitive, and then he comes back for the final 4 or 5 months of the season, I mean, that's a pretty big add.
Yeah. So that also takes care of Fraser Forrester, who I think has no chance of being there next year.
Next year, maybe not, but.
With the teams that are looking at goaltending, need goaltending help, like Arsenal or Liverpool, I think.
Yes, please.
Yes, exactly. So I don't think there's a chance that he stays. Adrian, same boat, but from West Ham that we talked about earlier. But I think through January, I think they're safe, though. I think that's a good argument against what I was saying. Because Southampton wants to keep what they have to try to push for Champions League next year and see what they can do.
I mean, that's a significant financial windfall if they can qualify.
Yep, but they will
for a club like that.
Yeah, it'd be quite the achievement, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And so speaking of West Ham, Diafra Sakho, do you foresee him possibly being moved at all? Same concept, as long as they're in contention for Champions League, he will not be moved?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, Kevin, same thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. But have the financial structure to hold on to him finally. Now it's not like the relegation West Ham sides. So
And I mean, I don't want to cheapen this either, but they're getting the Olympic stadium.
Yep.
So that should boost revenue too. I think it's a good thing for the entire sport that West Ham is going to be back to being West Ham,
mm-hmm.
producing the likes of Frank Lampard, for example, New York City FC.
There you go. Speaking of New York City FC.
Hey,
next guy on the list.
Josie Altidore. That would make a lot of sense. Yep. So possibly as early as January that he can come back to the U.S. It's been a nice trend, much to the chagrin of U.S. international coach Jurgen Klinsmann.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he would receive this very nicely. However, it's certainly a possibility. Do you see? I mean, Josie's definitely going to move in January. He's just not playing. He needs to play. Do you think that it's New York City FC? Should I, as a season ticket holder and third rail member, should I get my Josie Altidore shirt customly made now before it's even a thing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's hardly a done deal. And coincidentally, I think Orlando is going to go after him also.
No, boo.
Sure. I mean, he was born in New Jersey, which I don't know if that means he's more of a Red Bull guy than he was a, you know, he came up with the Metro Stars, didn't he?
Yes.
So, but he really grew up in Florida. But I just think it's weird that, you know, that he will clearly be one of the best players in MLS if he comes over. And it seems like Klinsmann would much rather him go play for, you know, Hertha Berlin or Werder Bremen, one of like the bottom Bundesliga clubs, just because I think he rightfully or wrongfully believes that the competition is better there. But I think Josie still thinks he needs to earn his spot on the 2018 World Cup team, and I'm not sure he thinks. I think he believes kind of the same thing that Klinsmann does, that he needs to do that in Europe. And I think ultimately he ends up in either France or Germany.
And Kevin, do you think U.S. or elsewhere?
I was going to say the same thing. I hope for his sake he ends up in Europe, but I just have that nagging feeling that he's coming home. I don't know if he's going to be in purple down in Orlando or if he's going to be in New York City FC. I can't see that happening. I don't know if there's even another landing spot for him, maybe in LA, depending, you know, if Landon does.
Donovan.
Yeah, if Landon leaves, maybe he could go there. But, I mean, if guys like Connor Casey and Kenny Cooper can play until they're 75 years old in MLS, Jones is going to win the MVP next year. He would be a natural fit. His style of play, I think he'd be a dominant player if he stays healthy. But yeah,
I think the Red Bulls could be looking at him too, just because they're going to have to replace, not that he plays the same position as Thierry Henry, but they're going to have a DP spot open.
Yeah. Him and Tim Cahill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be a very, very tall strike force, very header oriented.
Josie, come home, Josie, even though we don't want you to.
Well, I mean, selfishly, as a season ticket holder, I'd like if he came to New York City FC, but unselfishly, I hope him and Bob Bradley end up at a top European club at the same time.
Oh, there you go.
Ha! And on that note, I'm going to close out this podcast on a very patriotic note. So thank you very much, Kevin, for making your debut appearance here. Hope to have you back again. It was a lot of fun. Even though we disagree on some things, I had a lot of fun talking to someone other than Lardino for a little while.
Yeah, Robbie Keane hat trick, but U.S. wins 4-3 this weekend.
Oh, there it is.
This is.
And does Seamus Coleman get the fourth?
No. No. We're going to have Lee Gwynn. It's going to score all four goals for the U.S. I have no idea. Ibarra.
Own goal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, guys, for joining us on this episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. We'll catch you next week with slightly fewer shenanigans, but just as much laughs. Enjoy yourselves, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, man.
For more great content, go to RotoWire.com/soccer. It's all free, and it's all for you.